أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome once again to Islam in Focus. Today we have our 10th program on Jesus, the beloved messenger of Allah. And our topic today will be the second segment of Comparative Christology. My name is Ishad Mimish, I'm your host, and here with me is Dr. Jamal Radoui from St. Mary's University. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Could we have a little summary of last week's program, please?
Certainly. Last program we started the discussion of Comparative Christology, especially in respect to the portrait of Jesus in the Quran, and comparing that with what Christian theologians usually present. And we indicated that there are areas of important similarities between Muslims and Christians, at least insofar as accepting, loving, respecting, and honoring Jesus, peace be upon him, on the authority of the Quran for the Muslim. We indicated also that there are areas of difference related to the scope of his mission, the question of crucifixion, second coming, the nature of his message, but most importantly, it was indicated that all of these differences really center around the question of divinity, whether Jesus was a human or divine. In order to analyze and study this issue, he suggested that you can either scrutinize the authority, authenticity, and historicity of both scriptures, the Quran and the Bible, to see how they are used as a support for one position or the other. Secondly, is to scrutinize the positions themselves, which are based on these holy books, to examine whether they have a sound basis, whether they make sense, whether they have any valid proof. Thirdly, is to begin with something even more fundamental, to find out first of all whether any claim by Muslims or Christians for that matter is substantiated by their own scriptures. More specifically, we could assume either that the Muslim has no basis in the Quran to say that Jesus was a human, that the Quran say that he was divine, for example, or to again assume, on the other hand, that the Christian may not necessarily have a basis, a sound and strong basis from the Bible, to say that Jesus indeed was divine. We began with the first assumption about Muslims, and we indicated some of the points that some Christian writers, especially missionary people, say, in which they claim that the Quran implies that Jesus was divine, and we indicated that this was absolutely incorrect, and went through some of the discussions of issues like Jesus being called the holy, pure spirit from Allah, a word from Allah, Messiah or anointed, and we explained that none of this really implies any divinity, and the Quran is very explicit in describing him as a messenger, a prophet, and a faithful servant of Allah.
Now, Dr. Jamal, I realize that there's been a lot of literature on this particular issue. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to ask you, however, to explain the main reason for the erroneous explanations suggested by some Christian writers.
Well, to start with, I do not make any claim that I have read all or even most of that literature, but from the little I have read for Orientalist and Christian missionaries, especially Christian missionaries in Muslim countries, and by reading what they said and try to analyze it, I noted that there are a number of reasons or a number of categories of errors. First, there are sometimes fictitious quotations. Fictitious. That is, referring to something and say that this is in the Quran, and if you go and check in the Quran, you find that it doesn't exist anywhere. Secondly, there are problems with misquotation. The Quran says something, but the quotation says something different. It doesn't give the meaning that is being implied. Thirdly, there is a problem with partial quotation. Partial quotation in a sense of stopping in the middle in a way that changes the meaning. Fourth type of error is to make claims or statements without quoting specific verses in the Quran, just giving a general reference to the Quran. But if you refer to the text they refer to, you find that the claim is not really substantiated by the text of the Quran. A fifth type of error is basically what I call Hellenization of the language of the Quran.
Let's get to the specifics of the matter then. Maybe you can give us an example of that first type of error, in other words, where the passage actually does not exist in the Quran.
All right. This is something that really struck me, and I would have not believed it unless I saw it with my own eyes. I have seen an article that was distributed recently when I was giving a lecture in the MIT. And the title of the article is The Significance of Jesus Christ in Islam. It is written by Elvin Gill, G-I-L-L, who is identified in the article, which was published in a periodical called Asia, identified as the national director of the Campus Crusade for Christ in Pakistan. And it says also that this article is condensed from his book, The Christ in Islam. And he says, and I'm quoting verbatim, quote, according to Surah Yasin and Mary, these are names of two chapters in the Quran, of the Quran, Jesus is the only one who can advise God concerning the fate of each individual on the Day of Judgment. The chapter that he refers to, Yasin, is chapter 36 in the Quran. I went through the entire chapter several times. There is absolutely no verse in the whole chapter that has anything to do with Jesus, peace be upon him. And then I went to the second surah that he refers to without giving a verse number, number 19. And while surah 19, which is called Mary, obviously speaks about the story of Jesus a lot, but there is no single verse in the entire surah that refers in a direct or indirect way to the statement that Jesus is the only one who advised God in the Day of Judgment about the fate of every human being. I would suggest for any viewer to examine that by himself. And again, the chapter number is 36 and 19. Find any verse that says what he has been quoting. And he gives the surah, so the reader thinks that since he's giving, he even gives the name of the surah. But you look into the surah and you find it. It's very difficult to explain. Why would a responsible writer like this in that position write something like this? Did he read the Quran? Did he even read the surahs in which he made reference to? Is it right to make a fictitious quotation that does not exist in the other scriptures?
Okay, how about misquotations then?
Well, in the same reference, this is not the only one, but this provides clearer examples. The writer also says that the Quran refers to Jesus as, and I quote him, quote, the greatest above all in this world and in the world to come, unquote. This time, instead of just giving the surah number, he also gives the verse number or the passage number. And that is surah number 3, passage 45. If you actually refer to that text, you find that it doesn't say that at all. It simply describes Jesus as وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, which means in English that Jesus is held in honor in this world and in the hereafter and of those, or it means also in the company of those nearest to God. It is obvious by referring to the original text of the Quran the big difference between what the Quran says and what the author is quoting and putting between brackets as if it is a verbatim quotation from the Quran. I may add here also that the text of the verse also, aside from being different from what he quotes, simply described that Jesus is honored, that he is among those who are nearest to God, which means that there are others also who are given that description. Where did he get the term the only one?
Okay, maybe I'll ask you to elaborate on that last point. In other words, maybe you can give us evidence from the Quran, if it's available.
Yes, there are lots of available evidence. For example, there are two very nice words here that are used to refer to Jesus. Wajihan and min al-muqarrabin. Wajihan in Arabic means honored. And the very exact term that is used to refer to Jesus was used to refer to Prophet Moses. وَكَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَجِيهَا. The reference to that is Surah number 33, passage number 69. The other term describing Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is not unique to Jesus either, because it says مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, that is in the company of those who are close to God. The word مُقَرَّبِينَ in Arabic, or close to God, is being used in the Quran to refer to the angels in Surah 4, passage 172. It is used in the Quran to refer to other humans or prophets like Jesus. Example, Prophet Moses, it also talked about him, قَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيَّ, would draw him near to us, and that's in Surah 19, in passage 52. It is even described to refer to people other than angels and prophets, just pious people. Some examples among many are Surah 56, passage 11, Surah 82, passages 21 and 28. The point here that I'm trying to make is that the problem with the writer is not necessarily sort of interpretation, but it is a straight misquotation. And as indicated earlier, he's not the only one. In fact, I've seen another publication. It's called Isa, or Jesus, in the Quran and the Bible. By the way, there is no name of author or authors, but it says it was published by an organization called Fellowship of Isa, or Jesus, based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the United States. On page 7 of that publication, it says, and I quote, "Jesus Christ is the Word of God, God's revelation of himself to us." And the reference given to the Quran here is, again, the same verse I mentioned before, another part of it, Surah 3, passage 45. If you go back to that and read it, it simply says in the Quran, "Behold, the angel said, O Mary, the mother of Jesus, God gives you glad tidings of a word from him." Not the word, a word from him. His name will be Christ, or the anointed Jesus, the son of Mary. Where in that quotation in the Quran does it say that Jesus is God's revelation to us? Obviously, again, it is not a problem of differential translation. It's not just a matter of a different type of translation. It is a clear misquotation also.
Dr. Jamal, maybe I'll ask you to give us a few examples of one other kind of error you mentioned, those in which the author gives only partial quotations.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to make a comment of when we say partial quotation, what exactly it means. Because we all know that any writer, of course, does not have to quote everything always in full. The writer usually chooses something that relates to the topic. And that is legitimate in general. But what I meant here by an error in a form of partial quotation is when you break the verse or break the saying of the prophet in the middle in such a way that it gives to change the meaning altogether, that you would get a totally different meaning if you complete reading the complete passage. I give an example to that, like if the weather outside is quite miserable and I ask you, how was the weather outside? And you tell me, well, it's pretty bad. If I quote you and say, Dr. Mamish says that the weather is pretty, I'm exactly giving the opposite.
Yes,
see, even by dropping one word, the meaning is exactly the opposite. So that's what I mean by partial quotation in that particular sense, giving half-truth, which could be misleading. An example of that, especially in the writings of Christian missionaries, is the same publication I refer to, Jesus in the Quran and the Bible, published in Minnesota. And he makes a reference to a saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in Bukhari. And he used verbatim quotation. And he quotes the following, that Prophet Muhammad said, quote, "By him in whose hand my soul is," that is in the name of God, "Jesus Son of Mary will shortly descend among you, that's among you, O Muslims, as a just ruler. And then he stops there. He doesn't complete the prophetic saying. And then the writer concludes that, and I quote him as reported in page 5, quote, "No other prophet before or after Jesus Christ is mentioned in the Quran to fulfill the above two functions, rule and judge." What is obvious here in the attempt of the writer is simply to say that according to the saying of the prophet, Jesus actually was divine. I refer to that saying that he quoted, and I discovered that he omitted a very important concluding statement, reading of which would totally contradict what he tried to conclude. The missing statement that he didn't quote, which completes the saying, the prophet says, "Then he," that is Jesus, "will break the cross and kill the swine." Now, elimination of that statement from the prophetic saying is very serious, because it shows that the first task that Jesus will do in his second coming is to express his displeasure and disapproval of those who deified him, rather than to consider him as a servant and messenger of Allah, as he actually was. Because, of course, the cross is the symbol of the divine who died on the cross. There's clear correlation there. We described that or discussed it in the topic on the second coming of Jesus, peace be upon him. But in addition to the omission of this important part of the quotation, it is noted that the saying of the prophet says, "Jesus, the son of Mary," it didn't say the son of God. Also his statement that no prophet before or after Jesus fulfilled the functions or will fulfill the function of being a judge and a ruler. I think it's erroneous, because Jews, Muslims, and Christians all know that there are many prophets, or there were many prophets in the past who actually were judges and ruled. You see, prophets David and Solomon, they were rulers and judges. A reference to that in the Quran in Surah 21, passage 78. Prophet Moses also was a ruler. We all know that. He judged among his people. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was both a ruler and a judge and a prophet, all of them together. Just to give a few examples, in the Quran, in Surah 5, passage 52, وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ, the Prophet Muhammad is addressed, and rule among them, or judge between them, according to what Allah has revealed. Similar statements are found in Surah 5, passage 51, in Surah 4, passage 65, in Surah 4, passage 105. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming, and I wonder how the writer came with that statement that in the Quran no prophet other than Jesus is mentioned to be a ruler and a judge. Of course, it's needed to say that a person could be a ruler and a judge, but still a follower of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And we discussed that in the second coming of Jesus, the topic that dealt with that Prophet Jesus is coming in the capacity of a follower of Islam, which was taught by all of these prophets, in its final form, as completed through the mission of the last prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Now, you also mentioned to us that there are some claims that are not sustained by the text of the Quran. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate on that?
Okay, referring again to the same reference, Jesus in the Quran and the Bible, the author describes in page 7 Jesus, and he says, according to the Quran, because he puts the quotation both from the Bible on one hand and the Quran on the other hand, and he says that Jesus is the author of creation. And he gives the evidence, not from the Bible also, only, but also from the Quran. And he gives the reference, Surah number 5, passages 113 and 114. Now, let us read the translation and see whether that says that Jesus was the author of creation. Quote, "Then God will say, O Jesus, son of Mary, recount my favor to you and to your mother, behold, I strengthened you with the Holy Spirit. So you did speak to the people in childhood and in maturity. Behold, I taught you the book and wisdom, and the law and the Injil. And behold, notice this, you make out of a clay, as it were the figure of a bird, by my leave. And you breathe into it, and it becomes a bird, by my leave. And you heal those born blind and the lepers, by my leave. And behold, you bring forth the dead, by my leave. It is very clear and very interesting to notice that this, in this citation in the Quran, the term by my leave is mentioned four times. And I think any viewer can easily conclude that this repetition, that you, Jesus, is doing this by my leave, by the leave of God, negates that Jesus is the author of creation. Every time Jesus is saying that what I do is simply a favor from Allah, not something out of my own. And in fact, this is not too much different, really, if we look objectively to what Jesus was quoted even in the Gospel of John. For example, in chapter 5, verse 30, he said that I do nothing by myself. In chapter 6, verse 38, he said that he is not doing his own will, but the will of he who sent him. So what the verse is obviously saying, that Jesus said, I'm not doing anything by my own. I am only the messenger of Allah, and God or Allah speaks to him that you are my servant, you are my messenger, you are not my equal, obviously. Again, the author forgot, as he forgot in another place, that the very verse that he quotes to support that Jesus is divine and the author of creation begins with Ya Isa ibn Maryam, O Jesus, son of Mary. It doesn't say son of God or my divine son or my equal in essence or Godhood. That means that you are my favored, one of my favored, one of my holiest, one of my most honored creatures, but still a creature.
Now let's move to the last category you mentioned earlier in the program. By that I'm referring to the Hellenization of the language of the Quran. Now, what is meant by that?
Well, to explain that, I think we have to begin by pointing out that the Quran, unlike other scriptures, is still available in the exact original language in which it was uttered. It hasn't been lost. It is there. And the language in which the Quran was revealed was not English, was not Hebrew or Greek. It was the Arabic language. What happened is that some writers take the translation of the Quran, for example, take an English term, which is a translation of the meaning of the Quran, and try to seek the definition of that term in the English dictionaries, and then present that English dictionary definition of the English term, not the Arabic original, as the meaning which is intended in the Quran, without any consideration to what the term means in Arabic, and without consideration to the context in which that term is used in the Quran. An example of this is one of the verses we cited earlier, but I'm looking at it now from a different angle, that the Quran described Jesus as a word from Allah, a word from Allah. That's in Surah number 3, passage number 45. We have explained already before in a previous program that all of the creatures of Allah are words of Allah. You're the word of Allah. I am a word from Allah. All creatures, and the Quran used the word actually sometimes in plural. That is, we are all created by the creative command of God, be, kun, the word of God. However, we find that the author of that publication, Jesus in the Quran and the Bible, says that according to the Quran, and they quote him, Jesus is, quote, God's revelation of himself to us. God, not God's revelation of his will or his command. God's revelation of himself to us. Well, we have already indicated in a previous question that the text doesn't say that at all, and any viewer can check on his own. Surah number 3, verse 45. Nowhere does it say God's Jesus is God's revelation of himself to us, but he based it on a very roundabout type of erroneous reasoning. He refers to Webster's dictionary, and he says Webster's dictionary defines word, capital W, as a manifestation, an expression of the mind and will of God. The mind of God is what God is, his expression of himself to us. The will of God deals with what God requires and desires of us, unquote. Well, this to me is a clear example of what I called the Hellenization of the language of the Quran. Instead of taking the original word, the Arabic word, trying to find out what is the proper usage of the word in the Quran, in the context of the Quran, he tried to give an English definition taken from an English writer who himself is influenced by the Hellenistic philosophy. This approach has been criticized not only by Muslims, it's criticized by other fair or relatively fair Christian theologians. For example, Rezanin, I made reference to him before in his article in the Muslim World, indicates that the Quran is in the Quran Jesus is a word from Allah, and that this is a reference to God's creative word of command to create Jesus, not the Logos. And then he says on page 146, and I quote, "It is futile to engage in a dialogue on this point in an attempt to Christianize the language of the Quran."
Very good. Now, Dr., earlier in this program, you spoke of the errors that some non-Muslim writers, for example, have in explaining the Quran. How about if there is a similar problem when non-Christians interpret the Bible?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that the point can become clearer if we refer back, just for cross-reference, to the 9th program in this series on that particular topic, in which it was indicated that in any comparative study, it is not enough that a Muslim, for example, quote from the Quran or the Christian quote from the Bible, because it is a problem sometimes of one or the other accepting the authority of the book that the other person is quoting from. And we suggested that one of the means of examining this is to re-examine both the Quran to see whether Muslim might have misinterpreted the Quran, perhaps, and that divinity of Jesus is established in the Quran. On the other hand, also looking the other way around by examining the Bible itself from the biblical perspective and finding out again whether the base or whether the claim for divinity of Jesus is really based on a sound and strong biblical context. Now, in our discussion so far, we have already explained in full, I hope, even though we didn't cover all points, but at least some of the major areas were discussed in full, to show that the Quran is quite clear and conclusive, that any argument that is made to show that the Quran in any way supports the divinity of Jesus, peace be upon him, is erroneous, and we have given specific reasons for that. But of course, in addition to this, the Quran is consistent and repeatedly indicate that Jesus was a prophet of Allah. He's described as a prophet, as a messenger of Allah, as a servant of Allah, and that would leave absolutely no room really to make an argument on the basis of the Quran that Jesus actually was divine. And like I said, this was attested to by a well-known theologian, Rezanin. Recently also I was speaking with one friend of mine who's well-known, again, Christian theologian. And I asked him, what do you think about those writers who try to show that the Quran supports the divinity of Jesus? His answer to me was, I don't sympathize with them because it doesn't have any basis at all.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jamal. We seem to have run out of time. And thank you all for joining us here on Islam in Focus. We would appreciate any comments or any questions you may have. Our phone number and our address will be appearing on your screen. Hope to see you next week. From all of us, Assalamu alaikum.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.